This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. If you spend time in churches or beauty shops or really any place where groups of women gather, especially black women, it's not uncommon for them to talk about the advice that they would like to pass on to the new first lady. A group of women in upstate New York went one step further and decided to publish their words of wisdom in a book. It's called Go Tell Michelle, African American Women Write to the New First Lady. The book was compiled by two education specialists who are co-founders of the Uncrowned Queens Institute for Research and Education on Women at the University of Buffalo. And those two women join us now. Welcome to Barbara Seals Nevergold and Peggy Brooks Bertram. Hello to both of you.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Great to be here.
Now, I understand that you got this idea in part when you saw that New Yorker magazine cover where Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are portrayed as fist-thumping terrorists.
Yes, that's right. You know, I think that that was kind of the spark, perhaps, but I think that the idea was growing really throughout the primary as we followed everything was going on and we were, you know, watching Michelle coming forward and taking on a more active role and becoming more of a person that we could identify with and that we liked. And so after the election, one day, and maybe about a week after, I think I said to Peggy, now, Peggy, what if we ask women to write letters to Michelle, letters of support, letters of love, you know, letters of adulation, if you would, because we think she's going to need that when she gets to the White House.
And I should add that they really turned out to be letters that were really very complex in addition to those other adjectives.
You know, when you talk about complex letters, Peggy, I'm thinking about one letter in particular. It's on page, I've got the book right here. It's on page 239. It says, Dear Michelle, open the closet door on mental illness. And it's a woman who describes a situation she recalled when she was a child walking home from school with three friends, and she says, as we walked down Staten Street, we saw this woman walking toward us. She was disheveled, disoriented, limping along. My friends started to laugh and point, saying, look at that lady. She looks crazy. I looked at the lady. It was my mother. That's what the writer said.
Yes, and it's the power of letters like this where women are, you know, expressing their deepest feelings about problems that we see in the overall society, but that we can make them personal. And that's what this letter did for us as well.
Barbara?
And I think in many ways that women use their own personal experiences to address issues that they would like to see Michelle spend some time on.
It's one thing to offer advice. I certainly have heard an earful of this almost everywhere I go from women who wind up talking about Michelle, when people say things like, don't forget where you came from, or, you know, watch the kind of colors you wear mm-hmm. because the world is watching. But it's another thing to put that on the page and actually put this in a book that I assume you hope that Michelle Obama will read one day. That takes
absolutely.
A lot of gumption.
Oh, absolutely. And I might tell you that one of the things that Barbara and I have talked about a lot is the themes that emerge in this book. And on the one hand, there are some themes that are sweet and gentle, but at the same time, there's some themes that resonate, that rise up in a way that we wouldn't expect possibly. And one of those themes has to do with the issue of the intraracial color line and women who very clearly point out that it was very important for them that Michelle Obama was a recognizably black woman, for example, that she wasn't light-skinned with blue eyes and still classified as black, but rather she was a black woman, and that it gave them a whole new feeling about their own lives. And we thought that was very powerful because that tends to be a subject that we don't go towards so readily because it has such deep pain associated with it.
Peggy, you know, it seems like many of the women seem to be saying in their letters that the world might see them differently, might see them through a new lens because of Michelle Obama.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and this is particularly for women who were dark-skinned women who thought, oh, my goodness, like one woman who said, I now believe I can bring my black babies into this world, that this had enormous meaning. And it really is something that we need to explore even further after this book.
I'm interested in the letters that stand out to you, the ones that still sort of live with you now that the book has been published. Peggy?
I should tell you the letter that continues to cause me to weep, which is our front bookend as an absolutely striking poem written called In Anticipation of You. And she opens her poem saying that we vomited, swallowed, and engorged oceanic passages, sardined inside the darkness of carriers that moved culture, kindred, and home from tribal remembrance to enslaved reality. We unlocked new world words and hid learning, seldom to be uttered aloud or mistaken as schooled vessels, bright, deep, and full of knowing. And it goes on, and she concludes this poem by saying, and all we carried, dreamed, hoped, dared, and desired would at last be lifted and delivered from the shoulders of Sojourner Truth, the soapbox of Maria Stewart, the feet of Harriet Tubman, the words of Phyllis Wheatley, the song of Marian Anderson, the church women's education of Nanny Helen Burroughs, the court and newsrooms of Mary Ann Shade Carey, the sacrifice and service of Anna Murray Douglas, the spiritual awakening of Jerina Lee, Amanda Berry Smith, and Julia Foote, all armed, armored, and amazing foremother ancestors, all in anticipation of you.
And we should give credit to the woman who actually wrote that beginning letter. Her name is Arlette Miller-Smith, and
yes,
she's an associate professor in the Department of English, and she's co-director of the African American Studies Department at John Fisher College in Rochester, New York.
Right. And the one that ended it was written by Janine Wilkins and is called We Are Going With You. And that just stands out for me because it is so, again, inclusive and meaningful in that women are saying to Michelle, you may be going on this journey, but you're not going alone. We are going with you. We'll be there with you, beside you, behind you, perhaps sometimes even in front of you. But we want you to know that we're standing here with you. And we're, you know, going to accompany you on this journey. So that letter has stood with, you know, it has resonated with me and has stayed with me as being very powerful.
That was the closing. And in between all of that, all these letters saying some other things, but this historical journey that some of these women took us on, and the final one concluding that we are all with you, we're all going with you. And that was stunning for me.
Peggy Brooks Bertram, Barbara Seals, Nevergo, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Barbara Seals Nevergold and Peggy Brooks Bertram are co-founders of the Uncrowned Queens Institute for Research and Education on Women at the University of Buffalo. They are also editors of a new book called Go Tell Michelle, African American Women Write to the New First Lady.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.